It's been an enjoyable time here with you all today. I feel like we have renewed some old friendships and made some new ones. And again, it's been an inspiration to myself and my wife as we came here. So I just want to bless you all on that. I was just really blessed by the two songs that you led, Tim. The first one talked about God's love to us, and I just don't have that number pulled up. But the second song, 450, Therefore Give Us Love, talks about our love being expressed out to those around us. And it just so happens to be that that's the subject that I want to speak on tonight. The title of the message is The Way of Love. And the second verse of this song that we just sang says, faith and hope and love we see, joining hands and hand agree. But the greatest of the three and the best is love. I don't need to tell you tonight that we live in a world that is full of hatred and anger and distrust and, oh, what all could you put in there? The opposite of love. We live in a world tonight that needs someone to show them Christ's love because they're not seeing it anywhere else. So what is love? How would you define true love? Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now that's hard for me to explain tonight. I can't fully comprehend God's love for me. He says that we're supposed to love one another as he has loved us. Well, how has Christ loved us? You think about the ultimate sacrifice there on Calvary. He gave everything. He held nothing back. He gave his own precious blood there on the cross. And it wasn't that we deserved it. We were very unlovely. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. And as he lived here on the earth and he walked those dusty paths, we know how he ministered to the people. And he gave and he gave and gave. The Bible says he took upon himself the form of a servant. And so I can't stand up here tonight and really explain the depth and the full aspect of Christ's love for us. It's beyond my comprehension. But he's saying that we need to love others the way he has loved us. And it says, by the way we love each other, men will be able to know that we love Jesus. And may God help us. The way of love is the high road that brings many blessings and rewards. Unfortunately, we live in a world where love is many times misunderstood and misinterpreted. You see, love is more about what we can give than what we can get. And we have this misconceived idea tonight in our world that love is about what I can get for myself. But when you look how Jesus loved us, it was nothing about what he could get. It was what he could give for mankind. It was all about how he could save mankind. So true love is more about serving others than serving ourselves. True love is a life of self-denial where our identity, our priorities, our attitudes, our values, our possessions, our passions, and our actions are reshaped and reformed by the way of Jesus. And that includes pretty much our whole life. True love is a life of self-denial where our identity, our priorities, our attitudes, our values, our possessions, our passions, and our actions are reshaped and reformed by the way of Jesus. The way of love is 100% counter to my carnal nature. You know, if I just take my own way, what my flesh would desire, I'm going to miss it completely, what true love is. The way of love is a choice that we make, a choice to obey God's commands to love, which flows from a genuine love for God. Tonight, we can't love each other with Christ-like love unless we have experienced Christ's love in our hearts. And That first song talked about that, Christ's love flowing into us. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." See that connection there? If we're going to love the way God wants us to, we're going to need to be born of God and know God. So tonight, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. You recognize this as the chapter that talks about charity. And I think for something different, maybe I'll just have the congregation stand and we'll read this responsively. 1 Corinthians 13, I'll read the first verse and then you can read the second verse and we'll read the whole chapter. You may stand. "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing.
Charity suffereth long in this time. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up.
Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
But when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away.
And when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known.
And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight we want to think about the way of love, and I have a pretty simple sermon. First of all, we want to look at what love is not, and we want to pull our thoughts out of this chapter, and then after we look at what love is not, we want to look at what love is. What love is not. The first thing I have, and I pull this from verse 1, is love is not competition in the use of spiritual gifts. If we go back to verse 1, he says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You know, there was this thing going on in Corinth that Paul had to address where there was those priests or other devotees who could speak in like an unknown tongue. And there was a lot of people that thought that these people were it was in the pagan worship, and they thought that this was like a God speaking, because no one could understand them. It was considered to be spoken the language of the gods. Well, we know that in Acts, if you go back to the day of Pentecost, we have a similar issue, the speaking in tongues. And in that situation, it was the beginning of the early church. And as the believers gathered in, and I just read that again today, it says from every nation, and they came in there, the apostles had the special gift, I believe, to speak, and every man could understand in his own language. It was a special gift that God gave them. And we don't believe that God has so chosen to give us that gift today. If there was, it would be like if I was up here speaking and there was people from 10 different languages here, and you could each understand in your own language as I spoke one language. I believe that's what happened there at Pentecost. It was a gift, I believe, that God gave. And Paul warned about this, you know, competition in spiritual gifts. does not mean that we, the gift of having, being able to speak in tongues does not say that we have true love in our hearts. Because he's saying that you could be able to speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, it is nothing. It's like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, which those two words speak of confusion. And a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal were words of emptiness and confusion. We know that in the day of Pentecost, as the church was being formed and people came from the different nations, they all wondered at this, like the gift that God was giving them that they could understand, and they talked about it. And it was just a wonderful thing that God allowed to happen. But in our day and age, we're not speaking in tongues. But we could be tempted to look at each other and look at the spiritual gifts of our brother or sister and say, wow, they had that gift, or I have this gift. And it could become a competition, or it could become a point of tension in our congregations. Paul is bringing out here that spiritual gifts are not to be compared among ourselves to the point that we don't have love for each other. And the second thing that love is not, he brings out here, love is not even the gift of interpreting all scripture, including prophecy and having all knowledge. It says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now we know that the Bible teaches and encourages us to study the scripture and to gain knowledge. That's why we're here together today, is to gain knowledge of the scripture. It's a Bible command. Jesus said in John 18, verse 31 and 32, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There he is giving his encouragement and his blessing on knowing the word, knowing God's word, and to gain knowledge of God's word. But is it possible that we could understand every aspect of the knowledge of the Word of God and still not have true love in our hearts? I think that's what he's saying here. We could understand, we could interpret all the scriptures that talk about prophecy. We could interpret all the mysteries of the Word of God. And yet, if I don't have true love in my heart, it does me no good. The third thing that love is not, is love is not even having great faith. We could ask the question tonight, how great is your faith? Is it great enough to remove mountains? When I think of great faith, I think of individuals like Daniel, the three Hebrew men, like Joseph, Abraham. I think of people like Moses and Aaron. And think about some of the great things that they were able to do because of their faith. Think about Moses and Aaron as they led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And because they were God's leaders, God gave them the power to, they crossed the Red Sea. And there was times when they struck the rock and the water came out. There was great things they could do because they were men of faith. In verse 3 here, he says that, in verse 2, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's a very sobering thing. We can have great faith like these men of God, and yet if we do not have love in our hearts, it says, I am nothing. Is it possible today that we have the gift of knowledge? We understand and are able to teach the Word of God, and yet we struggle with love in our hearts toward our fellow man. I think it's altogether possible. We've been raised in Christian homes. We know the Word of God, and we can give the answers, and yet we can struggle toward a brother or sister, or maybe a neighbor or someone that is hard to get along with. and not have true love, and it avails us nothing. The Bible teaches that without love, our knowledge is nothing. The third thing that love is not is found in verse 2. Love is not even... I did touch on that. Love is not even having great faith. Think about it. I'll use the illustration of Daniel. Think about when he was there and he was tested by those who wanted to find fault with him. If Daniel would have allowed a little hatred in his heart toward those who came and said, there's something that we have to find against Daniel between him and his God, and they found out that Daniel was praying 3 times a day, and they went and reported that to the king. If Daniel would have struggled with hatred in his heart toward those men who reported him, you think God could have worked such a great object lesson? I really wonder. Because it says, though I have great faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. In the fourth area, love is not even defined in great sacrifices to help the poor or in giving our bodies as the ultimate sacrifice in death. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. You know, sometimes we read about these wealthy men that give millions to charities. And I'm not here tonight to judge them. God knows their heart. But we could give $1 million to a good cause. And yet, if we have not love in our hearts, what's it say? It profit me nothing. It profit me nothing. And even give our bodies to be burned. Think about all those martyrs, those Anabaptists that went to the stake. What a challenge to lay down your life in front of your tormentors. But you know, I'm sure they were challenged to have true love in their hearts to them, because it says, even though you give your body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. You know, you read a lot of those accounts how they are praying, the Anabaptists, those martyrs were praying as they went to their death. I'm sure they were praying for grace to be faithful to the end, but don't you think they were praying for their enemies, that they would have right thoughts toward them, that they would have love in their hearts toward them? We don't face these things, but really, if we did, wouldn't that be a real challenge? Is it really possible that we could give everything that we have to a good cause, and yet, if we do it without genuine love, it doesn't profit anything? That's strong words. Well, we want to move on. What is true love? In the second part, we want to look at the way of love defined. The first one I have is charity suffereth long. We see that in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Well, what does that mean, to suffer long? That means to be patient, right? We talked about patience this morning. How would you rate your patience and kindness? That's love. Love is defined by long-suffering and patience and kindness. Today we have experienced, as we are here with you, a lot of kindness expressed to us, and we want to thank you for that. That is one of the characteristics of a person that has God's love in their hearts. They want to bless other people. I think most of us would agree that we could express more patience and more kindness. I know I can do better. You know, we say that patience is a virtue. What do we mean by that when we say patience is a virtue? Virtue in the Greek simply means to be of moral excellence and goodness. Patience is a virtue. It's of moral excellence or goodness. And as I think about moral excellence, my mind goes to the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, all those things combined. That is true love defined. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Think of someone who has expressed these qualities to you of patience and kindness. Think about how it felt to be treated the way you would like to be treated. That means a lot, doesn't it? It means a lot when someone else expresses kindness and treats us the way that we appreciate. There's a poem I came across. It says, "Love is an attitude. Love is a prayer. For a soul in sorrow, a heart in despair. Love is good wishes for the gain of another. Love suffers long with the fault of a brother. Love gives water to a cup that's run dry. Love reaches low as it can reach high. Seeks not her own at the expense of another. Love reaches God when it reaches our brother." When we love another person, in essence, we are showing our love to God. It is expression of our true love in our hearts for God. Secondly, charity envieth not. How do we define charity? It says in verse 4, that charity envieth not. Envy is simply a feeling of discontentment or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or desirable gifts or abilities. In simple words, we wish we had what they have or what they can do. We wish we could do. And I think we all probably struggle with that sometimes. Like, I wish I had what they have. I wish I had the gifts that brother has or that sister. And if we focus on that too much, it can take away our true love for them, our true love for others. A noted doctor has listed several emotions that produce disease in the human body. And of those emotions, he named fear, frustration, rage, resentment, hatred, envy, and jealousy. Tonight we're talking about charity envieth not. See, when we have jealousy and envy toward others, resentment, it does something to us. It starts eating away at us. And if we don't take care of it, we can become bitter and we can become angry. And we can start saying, "God, you're not fair because this person has all these possessions or all these gifts and I don't have them." I trust that we don't struggle with this. But I want to just throw out one word of caution, and I think we all face it. In our age of social media, there's so much that we can post on social media showing other people what we have, what we're doing. And it's easy to start comparing our lives with other people's lives. And I believe that it can be a temptation. It can create in us a temptation to envy or be jealous. Let's be careful with that. I think there is a place to post things that can be encouragement to others. But let's be careful how much we start to compare ourselves with each other. The Bible says that is not wise. To compare yourselves among yourselves is not wise. Well, in the third area, charity defined, charity does not boast, is not proud. Love is humble. Jesus taught us that by his example and teaching. You know, Jesus wasn't proud. Jesus was a servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And through that, he served mankind. He served in love. The focus of love is always outward toward others. Think of that. Kindness, acts of service. It's not all about ourselves. It's about other people, how we can bless their lives, how we can serve them. And when we get that turned around and focus on ourselves, then we struggle with pride. I would like to just read a few verses. You can turn with me to Philippians 2. Thinking about humble service and that defines true love. Let's read Jesus' example here in Philippians 2, verses 1 to 8. Philippians 2, 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's a beautiful passage, a beautiful example of how Christ humbled himself and served others. The focus was not himself. The focus was how he could bless the people that he came in contact with. Well, charity is not proud, but it is humble. The fourth area, charity is not rude, it is not self-seeking. In verse 5, we see this. Now, let me get back to our verses. And charity is not rude, it is not self-seeking. You know, love cares about others and their feelings. We live in a world where if you're not careful, you can get run over. Run over by others' words, by actions of those who are focused on themselves and their own agenda. Their life revolves around the big I. It has to be their way or to their advantage. But love does not live that way. Love is not about the big I, but love is about blessing others. To be rude is to be offensively impolite or ill-mannered. You know, it could be that we are rude out of ignorance, but more likely, rudeness comes from an intentional discourtesy. Sometimes people are rude just to get even, or to perhaps show one's disapproval or dislike. But that's not a way to make friends, is it, to be rude? No, love is not rude. We need to remember being rude and self-seeking is natural to our human nature. But love counters that way by caring. I talked about being rude and being running over people. We need to stop and think how our actions are going to be felt by someone else. You know, I'm sure we've all been offended or discouraged by how someone else talked to us, how maybe we were put down. And let's learn a lesson. You know, when we try to put ourselves up by putting others down, we only are putting ourselves down. In the fifth area, charity is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It is said of Abraham Lincoln that he never forgot a kindness, but that he had no room in his mind for the memory of a wrong. He never forgot a kindness, but he had no room in his mind for a memory of a wrong. He dismissed those wrongs. If you find a happy person in life, a Christian that is living in victory and cheerful, that's not a person that is going to have a list of wrongs against him. He's going to forget those. There is a morality of memory, and love keeps a list of creditors, but none of its debtors. You know, that's easier said than done. You know, you can think of people that maybe took advantage of you in life. It can be little things. Maybe people borrowed your equipment and broke it and brought it back, and there it was, and you had to fix it. You know, it doesn't do us any good to remember that and to make a case of it, but to just let it go. Let it go and learn a lesson. Don't do it to them when you return their piece of equipment. Maybe we should each do a little survey and ask a close friend or family member, am I easily angered and do I forgive easily? Maybe you can do that tonight when you go home. Ask your wife or your husband or your children, is there areas that I can do better as far as forgiving easily and getting angry or not getting angry? By the grace of God, do I control my emotions and am I quick to forgive? Think about all the mistreatment that Jesus faced at his trial and crucifixion. Many times he didn't even respond to their false accusations, but in the end he uttered, these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Whoever in this world was more mistreated than Jesus was, and he had such a forgiving spirit. God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, moving on in the sixth area, love defined. Charity does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Another way we could say it is, love loves the truth. Love does not love evil. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. You know, Corinth was an evil place with many wicked pagan practices as idol worship and perverted immorality. And this was an influence on the believers. Paul addressed these things. But to combat that, these evils, Paul taught that love does not enjoy or delight in such actions, but true love finds joy in truth and righteousness. True love identifies with truth and righteousness, does not delight in the wickedness around us. I wonder tonight how different America is today from Corinth back then. It seems to me it can't be that much different. You know, we see the evil all around us. It's running rampant. When individuals don't love the truth, they set themselves up for deception so they should believe a lie. I would just like to read a couple verses in 2 Thessalonians. It talks about these times that we are living in. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 to 12. You know, we live in a day and age where even the government of this country is promoting evil. In many ways, it's in our school, it's in the public schools, it's in a lot of places, things that we would never thought of a few years back. And it's really sad. It's really sad. And I think as time goes along, we have more and more opportunity to promote truth and how God really feels about these issues. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 to 12. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I think that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, as I read that passage, I can't help but think about America tonight. As men reject the truth, they are setting themselves up for strong delusion and to believe a lie. And that's what we see in our society. God be merciful. But the point tonight is that we need to identify with truth. As the world gets more wicked, we will not compromise. Truth is always truth, and God's word does not change. And God's standard of holiness and righteousness does not change. And so let's not be ashamed to identify with truth. That is the way of love. Love loves the truth. Love does not identify with evil. In the seventh area, charity always protects. It says, charity beareth all things. We live in a world that seems to thrive on exploiting others' faults, weaknesses, and negative characteristics. If people can find some dirt to dig up and throw, they're going to do it. It seems by putting others down, they think they are putting themselves up. And it's actually the opposite. The focus of love is always to build up, to serve, and to strengthen our fellow man. Am I concerned about protecting others' reputation? Love looks for the most Christ-like redemptive measures to restore or address a situation that needs help or correction. Love does not overreact, but remains calm and collected. Tonight, love always protects. Love looks for the most redemptive way to work out our differences, our offenses, any corrections that need to be made. Love is redemptive. And that challenges me. Am I redemptive in my responses in my the way I relate to life, in the way I respond to maybe to difficult situations. Love always remains calm and collected and does not overreact. But it looks for a redemptive way to correct a situation. It protects. Charity always trusts. It says here that charity believeth all things. I don't believe that that verse is saying that charity believes everything, but I believe rather it chooses to believe the best of others' motives and actions when they are brought into question. We want to give others the benefit of the doubt, we say sometimes. And so we believe the best about another person until maybe we are proven wrong, that it is actually not the way that we thought it was. We want to believe the best until proven wrong. Trust is a big subject. There are many pieces to trust. Trust is a relationship that is built, and we could talk all evening on trust. But charity always trusts. Charity always trusts. It says, believeth all things. Trust is a relationship, like I said, but love chooses to build trust. And I know tonight that trust can be broken down so quickly between individuals, and then it needs to be rebuilt again. And that's a difficult thing. But that should be our goal, is to build trust that we can have that relationship that God wants us to have. In the ninth area, charity always hopes. It says, hopeth all things. You know, love chooses to look on the bright side of life, to think positive, to see the good and the bad, to find happiness and contentment where God has placed you at this point in life. Charity is restful in God's providence and anticipates a better life beyond this earth life. Charity always is hopeful. Are you hopeful? Are you anticipating Christ's second coming? You know, we live in a world with a lot of negative things. We talked about that some today. But we have a bright future, and we have a bright tomorrow as we live for Christ. Are you anticipating Christ's second coming? I trust that we all are. In the tenth area, charity always perseveres and endures all things. As we look at these 10 points under love defined, we realize that we have a tall order, a lot of work to do. Possessing and expressing the way of love. Love doesn't give up or quit. Love endures. Charity always perseveres, endureth all things. Love doesn't give up. You know, sometimes we face things in life that are hard to work through. And maybe someone tells us, comes along beside us, and encourages us, just don't give up. Just keep on keeping on. Well, love never quits. Love will be challenged, but true love never fails. Verse 11 and 12 reminds us that in this life, we have a limited perspective. It said there that though we see through a glass darkly, but then someday face to face. You know, in this life, we have more questions and answers probably. But someday we will have answers for all of our questions. Instead of looking through a glass darkly, we will see him face to face, and then we will know, even as he is known. One day we will be in Christ's very presence, and we will be able to see and understand with God's perspective. Won't that be wonderful? We'll no longer be limited by earth life and our earthly bodies and our earthly limitations and understanding. But one day we will understand. Well, thinking about the way of love, in closing, it says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus. And love is the action. Love is the action. As we have a basis, a foundation of faith and hope, then love is the outpouring of that. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. Tonight, we can only love as God loves, as we have his love in our hearts. And I trust that each one of us has experienced God's love. We have accepted Christ into our hearts. We are continually, by God's grace, living in his love. And it's my desire that each one of us would go through this coming week. Maybe we should just ask God to bring someone into our life that we can show them God's love in a particular way and bless them. Because that's his desire. And even if it's not someone new, continue to bless your fellow men, your fellow brothers and sisters here at Cornerstone with love. Because it is the greatest of all three. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Let's kneel for prayer.